Good afternoon, First Baptist. This is an exciting time in the Christmas season, the Christmas event, and everything's taking place. It's the biggest birthday party in the world. The whole world celebrates Jesus one way or another. I pray they do. We celebrate Christmas, and Christmas is a celebration of the birth. Isn't it amazing that the world doesn't recognize Jesus, but the whole world knows what Christmas is? That's always amazing to me. I've never been in place in the world, but all of Russia, all of Africa, they all know what Christmas is, but very few understand Jesus. And I tell them it's his birthday, and they about to fall over. Well, I don't want you to fall over. I want you to enjoy the birthday party of Jesus and be ready for it. I'm going to preach about making room. Jesus's Mary and Joseph's dilemma was when they went down there and they got down there to Bethlehem, there was no room. It'd be a tough day. We're going to talk about tough days at Christmas. This Christmas, I'll be preaching on a series. I'm going to be talking about some loneliness coming up in the week ahead. And so I hope you tune in for that because there's a lot of help with that. And Jesus is a relationship-loving person, God, Savior. He wants to help us with that. But I want to talk about how to make Christmas special, how to make room for Christmas in a busy life. How to make it count for Christ. You know, if you come to my birthday party and you brought 100 gifts and I didn't get any, I mean, it wouldn't have been much of a party. It is a birthday party. And now, he's not looking for our physical gifts under the tree, but he is looking for peace, love, and joy to be expelled from us because we're made in his image, and his image is peace, love, and joy in the Advent season. So I hope that we will put a little extra effort in that. It's hard to do to make it special. You know, all of us try, from gifts, from cooking food, decorations, special family time, help us make it special. But in reality, what makes Christmas special is the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, and the peace of Christ in my family. Not just me, but in my family and in the kingdom of God. All the things that happens at Christmas time, the products that we buy, there's nothing wrong with products we buy, but just realize Christmas isn't about stuff. It's about a Savior. If we can't buy love, you can't buy a gift. We really have to prepare for Christmas spiritually. See, Christmas is a spiritual journey. And in the middle of all that spiritual journey, we can love one another and we can share gifts, and that can be okay. But if you're not prepared spiritually for Christmas, you'll never figure it out. You'll never really celebrate his birthday in a very special way. Far too many Christians don't make spiritual preparations. You're getting your wish list in. You're getting your gifts bought. You're getting your house clean. You're making the food. You got all that stuff lined up. But what are you prepared for Christmas? Are you prepared for that birthday of Christ? My daughter Tanya, she's a creative gal. And she has birthday parties for her two little children that she adopted late in life. And her birthday parties are the most rememberable day of the year for those kids. I mean, she has a theme. She lets them pick them. And they have a birthday party. And all year we talk about their birthday party. Can't we talk about Jesus' birthday party all year? Can't this be a celebration of peace and love and joy? The stuff my money can't buy. But when it does become like that, it lasts forever. And it changes everything. So we must make some spiritual preparation. When we do, things happen that come into our life. I think we all agree that Christmas is far too much commercialized. You know, I read that last year we spent $450 billion at Christmas time for gifts. A lot of stores in America, half of their income comes to the Christmas holidays. Half. $450 billion. A lot of money, a lot of stuff. But again, you can't buy Christmas. You can't give enough away to make Christmas real unless it's within our hearts. And we have to make room for Jesus in our hearts. We must be prepared for that. Christmas always comes with a lot of hassles. I don't know if you've thought about this, but think of all the hassles Mary and Joseph went through for Christmas. Started 9 months earlier. Think about that. You know, let me tell you about faith. The Christmas story, God depended on faith of average men and women to bring that story about. When he came to Mary, and the angels come and showed her about having that seed within her womb, she could have said no. How can this happen? Then fear not. See, Every character in A Christmas Story had displayed tremendous faith to make the story work on earth. Joseph could have walked away. Now, I believe he could have found somebody else besides Joseph, but look what Joseph missed if he didn't do it. Look what Mary would have missed if she would have said, no, I can't do that. It's too scary. It's too frightening. Man, I will hurt too many people. She just said, by faith, if you think that's right, God, I'll do it. And so I want you to know, faith was impregnated in the life of these people. These were ordinary people. They're not supernatural. They're people who live like us with their hurts and agony and fears and joys. But Jesus brought Christmas because of faith in men and women, and they had to overcome obstacles like you and I never thought about to bring Christmas here to us, to bring Jesus to this world. So they went. Mary and Joseph had a lot of obstacles and hassles in their lives. I'm going to preach about it before the birth of Christ, but today I want to talk about to that point leading up to his birth. The hassles. There was financial pressure. Let me tell you something. Joseph and Mary had to leave Galilee and go down to a new community, a new town that nobody ever heard of, Bethlehem. A little bitty place. So they had to go down and pay the tax for this family, for this birth. And so they had to move. There was financial pressure. Physical hardships. Can you imagine walking about 80 miles or maybe riding a donkey with a pregnant wife? Can you imagine that hardship? My wife would have, she'd shot me. She's got to walk 80 miles. But they did it. I want to remind you, they did that. Because it was God's people spiritually prepared for the biggest blessing in the world. They prepared their life. They had faith in Christ. Man, when God said, fear not, they believed him. And so all those things were taking place. There was financial pressures. There was physical hardship and emotional. When they got to Bethlehem, there was no place for them. Now, I would think if God sent me to Bethlehem, he'd at least have a little room for me somewhere. Now, isn't that amazing? Can you imagine how much stress was in their life? Can you imagine what they went through? Can you imagine the questions they ask? And God, are you sure? Or where are you at? I ask those questions, so do you. But they did it because they were prepared for Christmas. And so Christmas is always a stress because we try to blend the commercial, the central part of our lives with the spiritual part. And many times that social life wins over without the power of the Spirit of Christ in our lives. It just, the flesh just takes us over. And so I want you to be prepared like Mary was, like Joseph was. I want you to be prepared for the difficulty that comes at Christmas, for the differences that come, for the hurt that comes in our life. Let's let God be God. His plans bring him to earth. God's plans always come together. But let me share this with you. I want you to get this. When God's plan comes together, there's always a sacrifice on this earth for that plan. There's always a sacrifice. Somebody has to give up something of the flesh, of the carnal nature. Somebody has to step out on faith. And faith is radical and faith is dangerous. See, they were prepared spiritually to do something. I wonder if, we're going to talk a little later, I wonder if God could even move us off our pews to love somebody in our family, our church. Just move us. Be prepared for that. See, it's always radical. God's plan, it must come together. And his plan is phenomenal. Getting prepared for Christmas, the experience. Look at the financial pressure. I want to read to you in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, it was just a normal thing. A decree, a law came out from the governor, just like the laws come out from our governors today on different things that happens. And he says, everybody got to be registered to pay a tax. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. And all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, and the days was completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Now, you know that story. It's a beautiful story. But I want you to look at the hassles in that story. I want you to see the experience that they had to go through. First of all, the expense, the financial pressure. Now, I don't know how much the tax was, but none of us like paying taxes. I guarantee you that. And they had to go a long way to pay taxes. I guarantee you that was difficult. And his wife is pregnant. That's big stuff. See, we read it like it's just like a fairy tale and it's all worked out. But God had tremendous plans for people. But when he moves, he always moves people. He always moves people. He's changing lives. He's asking people to come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Now, let's talk about debt for a few moments. How many Christians, how many people in the world at this Christmas will spend money they don't have? They'll go in debt. They'll borrow money. They'll charge it on a plastic piece of card. They'll be a slave to the lender. Is Christmas about putting us away from God and being in financial debt and become a slave to a lender? Don't think that, man, if you really want people to love you, that you're going to give them the biggest gift of all. That doesn't work. The love that you want is from God and God building the love within us. So see, financial pressure at Christmas is real, man. It really is. I encourage you to be a good steward. I'm not asking you to be a Scrooge. I'm asking you to share your gifts. But don't sell your soul to the company store for Christmas. God never planned that for you or for me. It happens all too often. Put Jesus head of your list. Unplug all the things of pressure in your lives. I think I told you that Kathy and I have made out a deal. We did this years and years ago. It's been a great blessing for us. At Christmas time, anything Kathy wants, I don't care. Anything she wants, I get it for her. She's my wife. She deserves it. She really deserves it. More than you realize. But anyway, and at my birthday, anything I want, they get it for me. And Jesus' birthday, I don't buy anything for Kathy. She don't buy anything for me because it's Jesus' birthday. We take our money and we put it together and we give it to missions at Christmas. And through the years, we give thousands of dollars to Christmas missions. Shoebox Ministry is one case. Missions in your church. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering is phenomenal. Around the world, people need to hear the story of Jesus. And we need to support that and give to it. So why not at this Christmas think about giving him extra? If you're going to spend $150 on Johnny and spend $25 on Jesus, it doesn't really go very well. It's his birthday. It's his Christmas. So don't let the pressure of the world take away the spiritual giving of the world. Give your life, give your heart, and be a blessing. So don't catch yourself in that debt and in that financial dilemma. Now, I believe Joseph's had enough money to pay the taxes. I do. God provided for him. Because see, when you are walking with God and he asks you to do supernatural stuff, he makes supernatural provisions. I remember when God called me to preach. Man, I was up in northern Indiana, and I was ready to roll. And then I had to kind of go to school, and I did some checking, and I'm going to move to Louisville. Let me tell you something. The hardest thing I did in my life when I walked into a job that God gave me, it was a great job. We had a house on a lake. We were living large. God was blessing us. I was serving him through church. But when I had to quit my job, you know what he made me do? Move to Kentucky. Now, if you're a Yankee, moving to Kentucky is a big deal. So it was a big deal. It's the biggest blessing of my life. I moved. I'm here today because of that move. Because I left it all behind. You know how I did that? By faith. And let me tell you how I did that. I would sit down and I'd get out my piece of paper and pencil and Kathy try to figure out financially how in the world we're going to live down there. I'm not going to have a job and all this. And one night, my wife stood up and says, Ronald, put down that paper, put down that pencil, and just say yes to God, and let's get to Kentucky. And I said, wow, thank you, Jesus. We just put it down and went to Kentucky. I had to move. And God moved my life because of faith. I'm an advocate of faith. I'm a product of faith. And so are you if you're saved. So are you if you're born again. But are you doing anything great for Christmas, for Jesus? It's his time. So that birth was there. Physical hardships comes at Christmas time. Those physical hardships in verse 4. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he's the house of lineage of David. See, 700 years earlier, Micah the prophet, the Old Testament preacher, prophesied that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. And you know what? I tell you, sense of humor, I was going to school in Louisville, and I was serving a church and going very well. And then God came to me and says, Ron, there's a church in Cecilia, Kentucky. Let me tell you something. Cecilia, I said, I never heard of Cecilia. Everybody I asked in that classroom never heard of Cecilia, Kentucky. As a matter of fact, I got on a map, and there was one of those cities, you know, that wasn't even big enough to put the name on. Just there was a dot and spelled Cecilia. I had to get magnifying glass. I said, honey, we're going to a place that nobody's ever been before. Cecilia is a little bitty place. But that's where we were going. See, God knew years ago that I'd end up in Cecilia, Kentucky. And God knew Joseph and Mary were going to end up down in Bethlehem, a little town that nobody knew of. It was a lineage come from King David. It was a Micah. It was a prophecy. And you know what God had to do to Mary and Joseph? Not only did they have to conceive and conceive to the plan to be a virgin birth, they had to conceive to the plan to move and go down to Bethlehem to pay some taxes. And you know what? God's plan always is right and perfect, but you've got to join God. He'll never join us. Go where he says. Do what he does, says. It makes a difference. So Mary and Joseph, they were following God's plan that the preacher prophesied years earlier to bless them. And now they were. Let me just go over this. When God does a great test of faith, I'm going to stand. Abraham, you know what Abraham told? God told Abraham, move. Go to a land you don't know of, eat the food you've never ate before, listen to the language you've never listened for, and Abraham says, let's go. See, he moved. How about Moses? Man, Moses was coming walking around that mountain a long time. See, God, see how God moved these men? How about Jonah? Man, Jonah run from God. He said, I'm not going back, but a couple of days in old fish's belly, he finally got around to that. See, God has a plan for you and I. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Mary, and Joseph, and even us today, when God wants to move, he may move us just a little bit. How many times have we sung in the church house, wherever he leads, I go? Is that just a song to you, or is that a principle of God to you? Maybe he wants to lead you off the pew you've sat in for 20 years to the pew behind you and love souls, people you never spoke to. Or maybe love you and just move you to a community that you never thought about. He wants to move us so we can do something for him. We just don't sit there and say, God, I'm here. You come and bless me. I can't go. God said, I'm going to send you where you haven't been. I'm going to get you to trust me so much. You're going to believe it's going to happen before you get there. And when you get there, it's going to happen. That's faith. So see, God's always moving us. Chris, God has plans for my life, and he has plans for your life. And Christmas is a time to celebrate those plans. It's a time. And here's why I celebrate. I love Christmas. For 20 years at Franklin Crossroads Baptist Church, I had a Christmas Day service at 11 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock on Christmas Day at Franklin Crossroads Baptist Church, you couldn't get an auditorium of 600 people. Because Christmas Day is his birthday, and I really thought it'd be good to get together for at least an hour from 11 to 12. I had to guarantee him that. A lot of Roxanne's over there, they always thought I preached too long. But anyway, I said I would do that. So I want you to get this. Christmas is his day. It's important to me. Now, be of good cheer. The birth, the emotional stress of Christmas, when they got there, there was no place for him. Serving Jesus brings rejection. It brings financial burdens. I want to tell you something. There was no room in some of our lives because our hearts aren't prepared spiritually for the fall. Someone's put death. You've got to put it down. you got to say, you know, Lord, when I walk with you, it isn't popular. It isn't that everybody likes you. I've been at Brandenburg long enough. There's enough people who don't like me. That's just the way it goes. It just happens. It's just the way it goes. Things happen. So you're not here to be popular. You're here to be the man of God, the lady of God, the people of God, to do what he says. You know, we sometimes think if I just love everybody, they'll love me back. That doesn't always happen. We make mistakes. We hurt people individually. We do things that causes people not to like us. But just walking with Christ sometimes is annoying and asking people to do great things for him. Now, I want you to have a great Christmas, but I hope you make room in your heart for the Advent. Trust God for peace, love, and joy. Pray for that. Jesus says there's plenty of room if you just come. Wherever you lead, Jesus, I'll go. So the room that Jesus has for us today is ready. I want to make Christmas special. You know why? It's the greatest gift the world's ever seen. The love of Jesus. The life of Jesus. The plans of Jesus. It all comes together when Mary and Joseph said yes and birthed the God into this planet. What a story. What's your story? What are you doing? Man, cook your meals. Fight your families. Social distance. However you can to do it. But make this Christmas special. You must be prepared for that. You must be prepared for that. Because if you don't, it'll just go by. And nothing significant will happen where you live. Let me pray for you. Father, we just need your help. We need to pay attention. Father, Christmas is a routine for us. We've been doing the same thing probably for a long time in our families, our traditions. And Father, that is important. But Father, I pray that we'll make room for Christmas with the spiritual love and the peace and the joy of God in our hearts. Let us live by faith. Let us move where you ask us to go. Wherever you lead, I will go. Father, just lead us maybe to a store, maybe to a broken life. Touch somebody in Jesus' name. It'll make Christmas real for you and them. In Jesus' name, amen.